RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headline. The release of hostages is the result of total diplomacy. Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines to increase security in border areas. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said the release of 10 Indonesian citizens of ship crews who were taken hostage by armed groups in the northwest region of the Philippines can be successfully implemented through total diplomacy. On Monday, May 2nd in Jakarta, Minister Retno Marsudi explained the liberation through a very long process. The situation in the field is very dynamic with a very high complication rate. The long process has been started since March 28th, and on April the 1st, the minister was sent by President Joko Widodo to meet with the Philippines president. The meeting was also aimed to strengthen and expand the network of communication with many parties. The total diplomatic strategy that involved all elements made 10 Indonesian hostages were freed.
Di dalam negeri, koordinasi juga dilakukan dengan berbagai unsur.
In the country, coordination is also done with various elements, while bid and readiness to help release 10 Indonesian nationals of ship crews also come from various parties. All of the offer was responded well, as it can contribute to the liberation effort. The strategy that we are adopted is total diplomacy led by government, but involves all elements of the nation. Minister Retno Marsudi further said the company is still trying hard to free the Indonesian 4 other ships men remain a hostage. The government will take advantage of all options to release the 4 Indonesian citizens. As stated earlier, the government will not give ransom to hostage takers. The location of the 4 Indonesian citizens is monitored from time to time continuously. Representing the Indonesian government, Foreign Minister Retno Albi Marsudi officially handed over the 10 crewmen to their families in a ceremony on Monday. The sailors were held hostage by Abu Sayyaf militants in southern Philippines for 36 days. Retno, during the ceremony at Gedung Pancasila in the Foreign Affairs Ministry complex in Jakarta, that their release was a long process. The situation in the field was very dynamic and really complicated. Minister Retno said the government had prioritized the safety of the crewmen in its rescue effort, adding that all forms of communication had been utilized from the beginning of the hostage negotiations process, as one form of communication would not have been sufficient for such a large-scale operation. The Indonesian government launched its rescue effort on March 28th, shortly after it had received information regarding the hostages. The government is continuing in its effort to rescue 4 other Indonesians taking hostage in a different incident. The 4 Indonesians remain in the hands of the same terror group. Minister Retno asserted that the government will not provide any ransom payment for the release of the hostages. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Albi Marsudi, has said Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines will work together to improve security in the border areas to tackle acts of piracy being committed by the Abu Sayyaf Army Group. The governments of Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines are taking steps to enhance security in the border areas and the surroundings. The minister said she and the Indonesian military commander will meet with their counterpart from Malaysia and the Philippines on May 5, 2016 in Jakarta. The trilateral meeting will ensure that cooperation in the economic field is not disturbed by the increasing threats in the region. Regarding acts of hostage taking by the armed groups, the minister said the government always puts the safety of Indonesians first. In addition, she said the government always opens all lines of communication with many parties to secure the release of hostages and mount a rescue process. China has denied that investment in many mega projects in Indonesia will result in a massive influx of Chinese workers, saying that Chinese workers' wages are higher than those of local workers. Indonesia has been an increasing amount of investment from the world number two economy. The Indonesia Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, has claimed the number of Chinese expatriates employed as part of Chinese investment had decreased over the years. BKPM said it would be prioritizing the support of China-backed investments in labor-intensive projects in order to absorb the local workforce. According to BKPM data, realized investments from China in the first quarter this year reached 339 projects, absorbing 10,167 locals. China has secured the country's first-ever high-speed rail project connecting Jakarta to Bandung in West Java, in addition to its role in the development of power plants and port. The Indonesian government will relocate the Cilamaya Port project to Patimban in Subang, West Java on account of risk to existing infrastructure. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said at the State Palace on Monday that the construction is expected to kick off in 2017 and the first phase of the construction will be completed in 2019. The government plans to build a deep sea port in Cilamaya, West Java. However, since the development might put the existing gas network nearby at risk, the government has decided to relocate the port site. The Transportation Ministry has conducted feasibility studies assessing six locations in the north coast of West Java and concluded that the Patimban area was the best possible alternative location. Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan said that the planned Patimban port, with a capacity of 7.5 million 20-foot equivalent units and the capability of accommodating 250,000 cars, would need a mammoth investment of 40 trillion rupiah or $3.2 billion. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Central Statistics Agency, BPS, has predicted inflation will decrease on the back of the fasting month of Ramadan set to start in early June. BPS Deputy Head of Distribution and Statistics Sasmito Hadiwibowo said in Jakarta Monday that the government should prepare supplies of basic commodities in order to maintain commodity prices. Inflation in June is expected to be moderate. Sasmito also predicted low inflation dropping below 0.5% this month, partly as a result of the decrease in fuel prices since April, resulting in 0.45% deflation. The BPS reported recently that Indonesia had recorded deflation of 0.45% last month as a result of the government's decision to cut fuel prices and public transportation fares at the beginning of the month. Meanwhile, BPS Head Suryamin said the government's decision to lower fuel prices by 500 rupiah or 3 US cents per liter since the beginning of April had driven deflation. The last item. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM has uplifted service to Chinese investors with the launch of the China Desk to grab $30 billion in investment commitment from the biggest economy in the Asia-Pacific this year. The desk will be handled by officers fluent in Mandarin, similar to that at the Japan and Korea desk launched previously. BKPM Chief Frankie Sibarani said on Monday in Jakarta that it has been delayed a bit from the previous plan to launch the desk in April. There are two main obstacles for Chinese investors in Indonesia. First, the language barrier, and second, good partners. During the first quarter of the year, the BKPM promoted Indonesia's investment potential in four cities in China, namely Shanghai, Beijing, Hangzhou, and Dongguan. It attracted $10.8 billion in commitment. Five prioritized sectors for Chinese investors are infrastructure, agriculture, maritime, and tourism. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The release of hostages is the result of total diplomacy. Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines to increase security in border areas. That was the news.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
A wonderful Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to commentary for today entitling May Day. International Labor Day, which falls on May 1st every year, so it is often known as May Day, is celebrated by workers throughout the world, including in Indonesia. In Indonesia, Labor Day is an annual holiday celebrated in various ways, from demonstration to positive events like fun walk or others, that essentially celebrating the workers' economic and social success. Historically, May Day was born from the various series of working class struggle to gain control of the political economy of industrial rights. But in its development industry capitalism, in the early 19th century, political economy signifies a drastic change, especially in the capitalist countries of Western Europe and the United States. The intensification of tightening discipline and working hours, minimum wages, and poor working conditions at the factory level gave birth to the resistance of the working class. Labor Day in Indonesia has been known since before the independence, but during the New Order government, Labor Day was no longer celebrated in this country. May Day then was not a holiday to celebrate the role of labor in society and the economy. The labor movement was associated with communism that since the incident of G30s, in 1965, was something very taboo in Indonesia. In the New Order era, when Suharto ruled the country, commemorating May Day was an action fell into the category of subversive activity. But after the fall of Suharto, although it was not a public holiday yet, every May 1st was celebrated by workers rife with demonstration in various cities. Labor Day has now been established as a national holiday and generally is colored with protests against government policies deemed detrimental to workers. As the Government Regulation No. 78 in 2015 and Law No. 40 of 2004 on Social Security, which according to some workers did not benefit them. The Government Regulation No. 78, 2015 on remunerations, according to them, contains rules that do not support efforts to improve the welfare of workers. While Law No. 40 of 2004 on Social Security should be revoked because this is considered as the responsibility of states and companies that employ workers. Workers also ask for outsourcing policy be repealed because it is considered give no guarantee for the welfare of workers. The government certainly has its reason to issue policy, while workers also have their own opinion about it. Yet, it doesn't mean that the problem cannot be negotiated by the two sides to a reach common ground, as the regional minimum wage, which always caused protests from workers, the government has already raised it, but it's still considered insufficient. On the one hand, the government is worried that too high labor costs might put too much pressure on employers and the impact will be termination of employment or, for foreign companies, relocating to another country. On the other hand, workers are of the opinion that Indonesia must not rely on low wages as an advantage to invite foreign investor. The same goes with various other regulation or policies. There are always pros and cons, and it is only natural. The door to a compromise, however, is still wide open because both have the same goal, that is, prosperity for all Indonesian people, including workers. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with May 3, 1937. Gone with the Wind, Margaret Mitchell's novel gets a Pulitzer Prize. Gone with the Wind is an American novel by Margaret Mitchell, published in 1936 and won the Pulitzer Prize on May 3, 1937. This novel is one of the most popular novels of all time. Its big screen adaptation was released in 1939 and managed to break the record of the number of Oscars received. Mitchell's masterpiece tells the story of a rebellious woman from Georgia named Scarlett O'Hara and her relationship with friends, family, and boyfriend in the middle of the American Civil War and Reconstruction. This novel also tells the story of a love that grows between O'Hara and Red Butler. In 1938, the story made into a movie starring Clark Gable as Red Butler and Vivien Leigh as Scarlett O'Hara. The film began playing in Atlanta, Georgia on December 15, 1939, with a production cost of about $4 million. Up to now, it is a film with the largest revenue in history. This film got 13 Oscar nominations. Next is from May 3, 1985, Indonesian boxer Elias Pikal wins IBF World Boxing title. Elias Pikal is the first Indonesian boxer who won the world title. Born in Saparua, Central Maluku on March 24, 1960, he has pursued the boxing sport since the age of 13 by practicing secretly because he was prohibited by both parents. As an amateur boxer who played at flyweight, Pikal often became champion, starting from the district to the President Cup championships. His professional career started in 1983 in a junior bantamweight. Since then, successive lists of world-level milestones were achieved, such as the Oriental and Pacific Boxing Federation champion after defeating Hyung Chung of South Korea in 12 rounds on May 19, 1984 in Seoul, South Korea. Over this victory, Pikal became the first Indonesian professional boxer who earned international title. Pikal won the title of IBF Junior Bantamweight from Korean Chun Jo Do in Jakarta on May 3, 1985. The United Nations General Assembly declared May the 3rd to be World Press Freedom Day, or just World Press Day, to raise awareness of the importance of freedom of the press and remind governments of their duty to respect and uphold the right to freedom of expression enshrined under Article 19 of the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights and marking the anniversary of the Declaration of Windhoek, a statement of free press principles put together by African newspaper journalists in 1991. UNESCO marks World Press Freedom Day by conferring the UNESCO Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize on a deserving individual, organization, or institution that has made an outstanding contribution to the defense or promotion of press freedom anywhere in the world, especially when this has been achieved in the face of danger. The prize is named in honor of Guillermo Cano Isaza, a Colombian journalist who was assassinated in front of the offices of his newspaper El Espectador in Bogota on December 17, 1986. Cano's writings had offended Colombia's powerful drugs barons then. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is 10 Indonesian Hostages Freed. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Abu Sayyaf militant group in the southern Philippines finally freed 10 Indonesian citizens on Sunday, May 1, 2016. It ended the hostage drama that has lasted for 1 month. All 10 Indonesian ex-hostages arrived in Jakarta Sunday night, having flown in from the Philippines. President Joko Widodo, in a press conference at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java, on Sunday, expressed gratitude on the release of the 10 Indonesian crew of Brahma 2 barge who had been kidnapped and held hostage since March the 26th. Nevertheless, the government is still working hard for the liberation of other 4 crew still being held by the militant group. According to the president, many parties had cooperated in the liberation of the 10 Indonesians. Therefore, he expressed his thanks and appreciation to all parties across the nation who have helped this process of liberation. President Joko Widodo especially thanked the Philippine government. He said without their good cooperation, the liberation efforts might not produce good results. The president also emphasized that the government continues to work hard for the liberation of the other 4 hostages, who are still hidden by the perpetrator. In addition to efforts to free hostages, President Joko Widodo warned of an issue that also needs to be addressed, namely the security in the border area and the surrounding region. For that reason, a meeting on this matter would be held on May the 5th between Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Related to that, TNA or Military Commander General Gatot Nurmantio said the government still continues to seek the release of the 4 hostages who were held in the northwest region of the Philippines, among others by holding an intelligence operation. However, in the efforts to release them, the government always prioritizes their safety. He confirmed Indonesia will apply a total operation involving both formal and informal networks. Meanwhile, Professor of International Law of the University of Indonesia, Hikmahanto Juwana, appreciated the release of 10 Indonesian citizens who were held hostage by armed groups in the territorial waters of the Philippines. However, he said, the government should emphasize that it would not pay anything to their captors. If there is any payment, then it would be done by the company where the 10 citizens who were held hostage work, and this is without the knowledge of the government. The government should also keep thinking of the 4 hostages that have not been freed. According to him, the government needs to announce and urge Indonesian flag vessels or crew who work in foreign flag ships not to pass through the sea lanes that are still controlled by the Abu Sayyaf armed group. This is because the company that makes the payment for Indonesian flag vessel or crew being held hostage would become an easy target for ransom. That was Focus Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said the release of 10 Indonesian citizens of ship crews who were taken hostage by armed groups in the northwest region of the Philippines can be successfully implemented through total diplomacy. Representing the Indonesian government, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi officially handed over the 10 crewmen to their families in the ceremony on Monday. The sailors were held hostage by Abu Sayyaf militants in southern Philippines for 36 days. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi has said Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines will work together to improve security in the border areas to tackle acts of piracy being committed by the Abu Sayyaf armed group. The governments of Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines are taking steps to enhance security in the border areas and the surroundings. China has denied that investment in many mega projects in Indonesia will result in a massive influx of Chinese workers, saying that Chinese workers' wages are higher than those of local workers. Indonesia has seen an increasing amount of investment from the world number 2 economy. The Indonesian government will relocate the Cilamaya port project to Patimban in Subang, West Java, on account of risk to existing infrastructure. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said at the State Palace on Monday that the construction is expected to kick off in 2017 and the first phase of the construction will be completed in 2019.
The government plans to build a deep seaport in Chilamaya, West Java. However, since the development might put the existing gas network nearby at risk, the government has decided to relocate the port site. The Central Statistics Agency, CBPS, has predicted inflation will decrease on the back of the fasting month of Ramadan, set to start in early June. BPS Deputy Head of Distribution and Statistics Sasmito Hadiwibowo said in Jakarta on Monday that the government should prepare supplies of basic commodities in order to maintain commodity prices. Inflation in June is expected to be moderate. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, has uplifted service to Chinese investors with the launch of the China Desk to grab $30 billion in investment commitment from the biggest economy in the Asia-Pacific this year. The desk will be handled by officers fluent in Mandarin, similar to that at the Japan and Korea desk launched previously. BKPM Chief Frankie Sibarani said on Monday in Jakarta that it has been delayed a bit from the previous plan to launch the desk in April. That was news in brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. And if you see beauty of nature among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Rantai Art from West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Department of Tourism and Culture of Sawah Lunto, West Sumatra, held a Minangkabau traditional randai. Its implementation is centered in Silo Field, Sawah Lunto, on April 29th to May 1st, 2016. The festival was participated by around 12 delegates of randai groups of each village in the city, with the main prize in the form of coaching money of 10 million rupiah. The festival was held to preserve the distinctive art of Minangkabau, as well as a means to promote tourism potential in Sawah Lunto so as to increase tourist arrival in West Sumatra. Randai is a typical Minangkabau performance art that combines music, dance, drama, and martial art. For the people of Minangkabau, randai has a specific function, namely as a performance art entertainment, which is also delivered messages and advice. At the beginning, this art is to convey a media to convey news and folklore through couplets or poems to be sung and danced. The dance originated from Silat Minangkabau movements, but in its development, randai adapt the style of characterizations and dialogue in acting performance. The story in randai is usually taken from folklore. In Minangkabau community, the story in the show of randai plays an important role. The story is the core of the show, so other elements in the randai show adjust to the existing storyline. Some of the stories are usually presented, namely Cindo Mato story, Malindeman, and Anggun Nantungga. During the randai show time, the audience sit around the stage. The show is accompanied by the songs and music instruments such as drum, saluang, and fiddle. In the show, the story is told in the Minangkabau traditional periodically with long dialogues between players. The dialogues contains advice, social criticism, and humor. Narrative stories submitted through the symbols in the dance and in the form of singing. The narrator tells a story while occasionally invites actors who sit in the middle of the circle to make dialogue. Randai is usually performed after the harvest or in commemoration of certain events. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Randai Art from West Sumatra. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is menukar cek perjalanan, or in English, exchanging traveler's check. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Maaf. Maaf. In English, excuse me or sorry. Menukar. Menukar. To exchange. Cek. Cek. In English, cek. Di sini. Di sini. Here. Cek perjalanan. Cek perjalanan. Traveler's check. Berapa, berapa, how much? 4,000, 4,000, 4,000. Dolar Amerika, dolar Amerika, US dollar. Tunjukkan, tunjukkan, to show. Kartu identitas, ID card. Paspor, paspor, passport. Tunggu sebentar. Tunggu sebentar, wait a moment. Mencatat, mencatat, to take down. Menunggu, menunggu, to wait. Di sana, over there. Tanda tangani, to sign. Terima kasih, thank you. Next is a conversation on menukar cek perjalanan, or in English, exchanging traveler's check. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Bill and Nita at the office. Maaf, apakah bisa menukarkan cek di sini? Maaf, apakah bisa menukarkan cek di sini? In English, excuse me, can I exchange the check here? Cek apa yang Anda miliki? Cek apa yang Anda miliki? What kind of check do you have? Saya punya cek perjalanan. Saya punya cek perjalanan. I have some traveler's checks. Berapa nilainya? Berapa nilainya? How much is the value? 4,000 dolar Amerika. 4,000 dolar Amerika. 4,000 US dollars. Tolong tunjukkan kartu identitas Anda. Tolong tunjukkan kartu identitas Anda. Please show me your ID card. Ini paspor saya. Ini paspor saya. Here is my passport. Baiklah, tunggu sebentar. Baiklah, tunggu sebentar. Alright, please wait a moment. Saya harus mencatatnya dulu. Saya harus mencatatnya dulu. I must take it down first. Silakan Anda menunggu di sana. Silakan Anda menunggu di sana. Please wait over there. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. A few moment later. Saya sudah mencatatnya. Saya sudah mencatatnya. I already took it down. Tolong tanda tangani cek ini. Tolong tanda tangani cek ini. Please sign this check. Dan ini uangnya. 4,000 dolar Amerika. Dan ini uangnya. 4,000 dolar Amerika. And here is the money, 4,000 US dollar. Terima kasih. Thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, till we meet again, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian talented male singer, Fidi Aldiano. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pelangi di Malam Hari by Fidi Aldiano. Happy listening.
Cinta. Apa saja yang membuatmu bahagia? Aku lakukan untukmu demi mengharapkan cintamu. Kini ku bagai menanti datangnya pelangi di malam hari yang sepi. Ku sadari yang telah ku membuat hatimu terpenjara dan tak kuasa ku membukanya. Walau seluruh dayaku ingin bersamamu, kunci hatimu patah tak terganti. Hatimu terpenjara dan tak kuasa ku membukanya. Walau seluruh dayaku ingin bersamamu, kunci hatimu patah tak terganti.
Cinta tak harus memiliki.
The song at once becomes the title of Vidi Aldeano's first album, which was released in 2008. As the title, the song Pelangi di Malam Hari tells about sacrifice for love of a man for his beloved girl. But sometimes love is not always reciprocated. Everything that has been done to get the love, just as people wait for the arrival of the Pelangi di Malam Hari or something that is not possible. Listener, Pelangi di Malam Hari album contains 11 songs, two of which are the old songs. The second song is Nuansa Bening and Cinta Jangan Kau Pergi, belong to Kinan Nasution and popularized by the singer from neighboring country, Malaysia, Sheila Majid. Nuansa Bening to be more popular when performed by Vidi Aldeano. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Status Palsu by Vidi Aldeano. Enjoy the song.
Padamu, tapi dariku itu yang terbaik. Kau bukan pilihan, karena ku tak sedikitku hasratku padamu. Terpaksa aku mencintai dirimu hanya untuk status palsu setengah. Pernah tahu rasa cintaku padamu hanya di bibir saja, tak sedikit pun hati bicara. Semoga selama ini kau tak tahu bahwa sesungguhnya aku tak mencinta. Terpaksa aku mencintai
Listener, unlike the previous song that tells about the sincerity of love, the song Status Palsu tells about the story of love and love that does not come from the heart sincerely, just for strengthening the stages. This song is one of the songs on the first album of Vidi Aldiano. Along his career in the Indonesian entertainment world, Vidi Aldiano has produced several albums and singles. Vidi also noted to have won a number of achievements. At the age of 2.5 years, he won the second children's singing contest. So, since elementary school, Vidi became a mainstay art ambassador of his school. Vidi began to pursue music instrument violin in adolescence. When in high school, Vidi joined the band and won the first place in the Incredible Band Festival in 2007. Not just brilliant in the entertainment world, Vidi has completed his education at the University of Manchester in 2015. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cemburu Menguras Hati and Yang Kedua by Vidi Aldiano. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Setiap saat ku harap ada keajaiban dalam dirimu, indahnya masa lalu tergores sama aku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.